We're going to start again from the Gemara, the fourth line in Yudamid Beis. The fourth line in Yudamid Beis. Amalei Rish Lakish L'Rab Yechanan. L'Levi D'Amadin Amiktani. Levi and his brisa had a case of an illegal marriage that was valid when Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven was a child of a relationship out of wedlock that Yaakov had. Shimon married his father's, meaning his, not his father's wife, but the woman his father had a relationship with. That means Reuven's brother married Reuven's mother legally because it wasn't his father, I'm sorry, illegally according to Rabbi Yehuda because it wasn't his father's wife. So it was valid, but it was illegal. And Levi listed it. And Levi had it in his brisa. So Levi was willing to list in his brisa arayas that came about from an illegal marriage. So if that's the case, Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yechanan, Levi should have had an other case as well. He should have said, listen, ha-chalitz li-yavamtai. Somebody gives chalitza to his yavama. Now, let's say Reuven died without children, right? And he had many brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, let's say, doesn't make a difference. And then Shimon gave chalitza to this woman. But since he had the ability to do yibum, he really has no iser to marry her. I'm sorry, it's not his erva of Eishes Ach, even after he gives chalitza. It's a lav. The Torah said, since he didn't build his brother's house, Ashlo Yivna is Beis Achiv, so we make a diak, Kivin Shlo Yivna, Shuv Lo Yivna. Once he didn't do Yibum, he did chalitza, he's illegal for her to marry. It's a lav. It's not an erva. It's a lav. Kedushin would work. It would be a valid Kedushin. It would be illegal. Now, according to Rebbe, we don't list illegal marriages in our Mishnah. But according to Levi and his Brisa, he did list illegal marriages as long as they're valid. So he could have another case. Shimon gave chalitza to Reuven's wife, the chaz of a kitchen, that he married her, transgressed a lav, violated the prohibition of marrying her, but the kedushin is valid. Umeis b'loy banim, and then Shimon died without children. Now, she falls to Levi. Now, to Levi, he never gave her chalitza, so to him, it remained usher as a brother's wife. That's Rish Lakish's opinion, as we will see, that it remains usher as a brother's wife. It's an erva. It's a chayvi krisis. He can't be miyabem that woman who had been Reuven's wife, which Shimon had given chalitza to. So therefore, it paters her, and it would pater Shimon's other wife as well. The imiga de yitzer asura, this woman who had received chalitza from Shimon to Levi, is an erva. It's his brother's wife. And he did not, well, he was not the one that did chalitza. Therefore, it remains to him as a chi of chorus. Now he falls to him from Shimon, who had done an illegality by marrying her after chalitza. But it fell for him from Shimon, and he's not allowed to marry her. And it would pater the erva, the tzara, the co-wife, Shimon's other wife. Why didn't Levi list that case? Amaloi Levisha Aina Batsara Sara. So Rabbi Yechanan answered him, because the Mishnah is looking for a case that Levi can't marry this erva, but Yehuda can. And then if Yehuda dies without children, Levi wouldn't be able to miyabim the tzara and the tzara tzara. Here, all brothers would be equally usher to this woman. It would never be a case that one of the brothers could do yibum, because Shimon died, Shimon violated a lav, but to Levi and Yehuda, she's an erva. So none of them are allowed to marry her. So you would never have a case of tzara tzara. Dr. Rashi, let's do the Rashi inside. The Masnissin Rabbi Yehuda, he said the Mishnah, his brice is going to Rabbi Yehuda. And Levi added the case of a mother who was an out-of-wedlock relationship with the father. The Chazavikitcha, the Kedushin types in Libah. And when Shimon marries the woman he gave chalitza to, the Kedushin is valid. The Eina Olav Ela B'Lav. It's illegal, but it's only a lav. And as we said, that lav Kedushin works. Only chorus, it doesn't work. The Chsiv Ashkel Yivna is based Akiv. He didn't build his brother's house. So Medaya Kivin Shleibana Shuvla Yivna. Once he didn't build it, he's no right to build it again. But it's only a lav. Umeis B'loy Bonim B'loy Isha Cheres. Now Shimon died without children, and he had another wife. The Migud the Asura La'achim the Kaima Leo B'Karis L'Rish Lakish. According to Rish Lakish, all other brothers would have an Isser Karis to this woman. The Amal L'Kamam B'Shmaitzin Rish Lakish says, Achim Shochelitz, the brothers of the one who gave Chalitza, Chayavan ala Chalutza Karis. Reuven died, Shimon gave Chalitza. To Shimon, she's alive. To Levi and Yehuda, she's Karis. So Tzaras and Ami Asura. So the Tzara would be Asur too, and that would be another Erva that could be listed in the Mishnah, that you can't marry the Erva, and therefore you pat the Tzara as well. Pisha'ena b'tzara tzara. The lekel amisnibah, you wouldn't be able to have a case of hocha tzaras of anisnes lechem and achem, that the tzara married another one of the brothers. The lekulu asira, all brothers are equally usher to Shimon's wife. The chol arayis the masnisin, in the Mishnah's cases, ala echad mem erva, b'al shar achem mutaris. To one of them she's an erva, but to the other brothers she's mutter. So you could say you could always have one of the brothers doing gibum to the other wife, because it's only an erva to one of the brothers, not to all the brothers. Here, since Shimon did Chalitza, to Levi and Yehuda, and to Yisrael, whoever brothers there are, this would be a chi of Karis. So none of them would be able to do Yibum to this woman or to her Tzara. So you would never have a case of Tzara's Tzara. Frek the Gemara. V'leimele chai v'lavenu. Now, as we're going to see in a moment, this is a machloikas Reb Yechon and Rish Lakish. If the following is the case, Reuven died, Shimon did Chalitza to Reuven's wife. As we pointed out, if Shimon marries her after he gave Chalitza, he's violating a law, but it's not Karis. How about if Levi wants to marry her after Shimon gave Chalitza? Shimon did not marry her. Reuven died, Shimon went and gave Chalitza. Levi is upset at Shimon, he wanted to do Yibum, he wants to marry this woman. Shimon gave Chalitza, so there's no longer a mitzvah of Yibum. And Levi goes and makes Kedushin to this woman. Rish Lakish says, it's a chi of Karis. Levi to this woman is a Karis. Shimon to this woman is a Lav. Levi to this woman is Karis. And therefore the Kedushin would not be valid. Rabbi Yochanan holds, all the brothers are only restricted from marrying this woman with a Lav. Reuven died, his Yavama fell Liibum. Shimon decided to give Chalitza. Levi, Yehuda, and all the other brothers have a lav to marry her, just like Shimon has a lav, but no more than a lav, and the marriage would be a valid marriage. So why didn't Rabbi Yechon tell Rish Lakish, your question is based on a mistake? You're saying that if Levi would not have, if Shimon married her, right? Let me get the case straight. Reuven died without children. Shimon gave Chalitza. Then Shimon married her. So Rish Lakish asked, when Shimon dies without children, Levi can't be Miyabe because it's Karis. Reb Yechon should have answered him, no, it's not. It's not Karis. To Levi, it's also only a Lav. And therefore, it's not an Erva. It doesn't Pater its Zara. That's what Reb Yechon should have answered him. Why is Reb Yechon answering him? Because it's not Tzara Tzara. Reb Yechon should have said, your question is based on a wrong assumption. You're saying that when Reuven dies and Shimon gives Chalitza, all the other brothers can't marry this woman. It wouldn't be valid. It would be a chi of Karis. It's not true. Once Shimon gives Chalitza, all other brothers are restricted from marrying this woman with a lav. If any one of them goes ahead and marries her, the Kedusha would be valid. And therefore, if Shimon marries her and dies, Levi would have to do Chalitza, or would, could marry the other woman, because it's not an Erva. So the question is wrong. Your question supposes that Levi can't do Yibum because it's an Erva. It's not true. But Yechon should have answered him, is your kash is a mistake. You're assuming that Levi to this woman is a chi of Karis. It's not true. Once Reuven died, and each of them could have done Yibum, Shimon jumped ahead and did Chalitza, all other brothers are restricted from marrying her only with a lav. It's not Eshesach. They had a heter for that. When Reuven died, any one of these brothers could have been Miyabim her. And therefore, even though Shimon gave Chalitza, it's only a lav. And if it's only a lav, Shimon dies without kids, Levi could either give Chalitza to her, we have to give chalitza, or he could marry the tzara, because it's not an erva. So why is Rabbi Yochanan giving an answer of einam b'tzara sarah? He should have given a much more basic answer. The question's a mistake. Levi could marry this woman validly, not legally, but it would be a valid kedushin. So it's not an erva. So why are you asking a question based on a mistake? But lemalei, let Rabbi Yochanan say, chai v'lavani. Zok the Gemara, the Dvar of Karmelay. Rabbi Yochanan was answering it according to Rish Lakish's opinion. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan personally holds that the question's a mistake. Because if Reuven dies, and Shimon gives Chalitza, everybody, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all have an ability to make a valid Kedushin in this woman. Not a legal Kedushin, but a valid Kedushin. And it's not an Erva. But Rish Lakish holds that only Shimon is restricted by a lav. All other brothers are karis. Because Shimon did chalitza, so he removes the karis. Everybody else remains with the karis. Therefore, according to Rish Lakish, it's a valid question. So Rabbi Yochanan wanted to answer the question according to Rish Lakish's own opinion. He said, L'dvarav kamerlei. He's answering it according to Rish Lakish's opinion. And this is what he's saying. Lidi D, if you went with my opinion, Chai V'Lavanim. This is only Chai V'Lavan. The Chai V'Lavan, B'nei Chalitza B'Yibim Ninu. And therefore, it wouldn't be an Erva. If Shimon would marry her, Levi would be obligated to give Chalitza to this Chai V'Lavan, and he could do Yibim to the Tzara. It's not an Erva. Because Levi is also only restricted by a Lav. And let me just finish the next line. El lididach chayvi krisis ninu. But you, Rish Lakish, hold it's chiva krisis. Because you say that all other brothers have an iser karis to marry this woman. Therefore, I answered you, according to you, fishayna b'tzara sara, because none of the brothers could do yibum. Yes, Harvey.
This seems like a very fundamental difference. How could this exist, these two different opinions exist in practice? Why is there such a fundamental difference between these two opinions as to whether the succeeding brother is now subject to karis or not? Or whether the marriage to the same woman, if it follows, is valid, even if it's a law. It feels like this is an in practice. This is a very fundamental difference. Am I missing something here?
No, it's a very fundamental, meaning like this. Let me explain this. It's prohibited, once chalitza is given, it's prohibited for either the one who gave chalitza or for any of the brothers to marry this woman. Everybody agrees it's prohibited. Nobody says it's legal.
Yeah.
The question is what right. The punishment is. A very fundamental argument to what the degree of punishment is. And the Gemara is going to explain in a moment. Yes. Yes.
Doesn't it also go to this, go to whether the marriage should the next marriage of the next brother takes place even if it's valid or not? It's deeper. It's more than punishment. It's the status of him attempting, the next brother attempting to marry her.
100%.
In one case,
you're 100% right. That's the difference. 100%. That's their argument.
And does the argument run deeper? Do they disagree about whether each succeeding brother has a duty under Yavamas at all?
No.
Does it extend that?
There's no argument in that. There is no mitzvah. Once a brother gave chalitza, other brothers are not allowed to give yibum. They're not allowed to do yibum. It's over. The mitzvah of yibum has been removed. Now the question is, what does it revert to? And the Gemara is going to discuss the reasoning behind it in a moment. But Rish Lakish says, the minute the mitzvah of yibum is removed, for all the other brothers, it reverts back to what would have been without a mitzvah of yibum, which is karis. Except to the brother that gave chalitza, the Torah wrote a lav. That means the Torah said, the Isser Eshes Ach is removed, because he's the one that gave chalitza, and it remains a lav, but it's not karis. But to the other brothers who didn't do chalitza, they're not allowed to do yibum, they're not allowed to marry her because it's a brother's wife without a mitzvah. And Rabbi Yochanan says they each had the mitzvah. One of them hadn't did it, but they all had the mitzvah, means all of them had the issur of brother's wife removed, and therefore it doesn't come back. And therefore, any one of them is just restricted by a lav, because, listen, the guy did chalitza, so nobody's allowed to marry her anymore. But it's only a lav. It's not a brother's wife, because that was removed by the brother's death. And each one had the option of doing yibum. And the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment, as it explains the machloikas of Yechon and Rish Lakish. But you're right, it's a very fundamental machloikas here. Rish Lakish makes it chorus, and Rabbi Yechon only says it's a lav, it would be valid, 100%.
Maybe what if one of the younger brothers jumped in front of the older brother and did chalitza when it's really not his place to do that?
It's over and done. It's over and it's over and done. It's done, finished. He's a bad boy. He won't get maftir yaina.
But the older brother can't marry that.
No, it's done. According to Slavkish, the older brother does it. It's karas. According to Rabbi Yechon, it would be a lav. It's a mitzvah for the older brother to be the one to decide to do yibum or chalitza. In fact, the Gemara is going to say later on. I can't hear anybody. Somebody's talking. Okay, the Gemara says later on that if the younger brother wants to do yibum and the older brother will do chalitza, the younger brother has a right to do yibum. But we go to the older brother first. If he refuses to do Yibum, we move on to the next brother and to the next brother. And if they all refuse to do Yibum, then we go back to the older brother and say, okay, it's your job to do Chalitza. He can say no, and the younger brother does it, but the mitzvah is the older brother. But if he doesn't want to do Yibum, he wants to do Chalitza. It's a machlokes later on, but we paskin that we would go to the second brother and say, would you do Yibum? And if he says yes, he takes precedence, because we like Yibum better than Chalitza. Okay, again, according to Aman the Amar, we had that argument, is Yibum better or Chalitza better?
My question was, if the older brother wanted, the oldest brother wanted to do Yibum.
Yeah.
He wanted to, and then the younger brother jumped ahead and did chalitza.
Tough luck to the older brother. Tough luck to the older brother. And you should know, there's an incentive here. I mean, I hate to use it as an incentive, but it's an incentive for the younger brother to do this. Because the one who does yibum inherits his brother. If chalitza is done, they all split the money equally. The brother is a multimillionaire, and the older brother wants to marry his wife so he can inherit everything. And the younger brother would rather, I don't want my brother taking all that money. So he quickly goes ahead and does chalitza. Right? He gets, I mean, he did an avla, he did a terrible thing. I don't know how terrible in the scale of things, but he did an avera. But at the same time, he gets his inheritance. Now, again, chalitza can't be done without the woman playing along. She has to do the chalitza. So you would have to persuade the deceased brother's wife to do chalitza with him rather than have yibum with the older brother, which might be easy, might be hard, depending what she wants. The older brother wants to do yibum, and the woman says, absolutely, I don't want to marry this guy. And the younger brother is willing to play along and says, yeah, I'll do chalitza to me, and everything will be fine and wonderful. And it works. Tough luck on the older brother. It's not right, but it works. Zaktrashi. Belay Malay Rabbi Yechon. Yes.
The ending of marriage using with a lav involved. Is that a one-time event or an ongoing event?
It's a lav.
Are we encouraging him to get divorced?
It's a lav. We better encourage him to get divorced. Every time he lives with her, he violates a lav. It depends on the
children.
The children are 100% kosher. It's a lav, meaning it depends on the power of Bezin where you are. If Bezin's powerful, they'll step in and break up the marriage, make him give a get. If Bezin doesn't have that power, he lives in sin. But it's, we're not giving him a covet here. We're just saying it's a valid marriage. He would need a valid get.
And you said that he'll be over love every time he's with her?
Every time he's with her, 100%.
In other words, if he marries her without ever
is either consummating the marriage, he's not over allowed?
That's a shayla, whether he's either on Kedushin alone or just for Nisuan. Interesting shayla, someone will learn Midrabon on the Tzasta Kedushin. The love is really marrying her and consummating the relationship. Marrying her by itself and never consummating the relationship, it's questionable whether it's rabbinically prohibited or not.
Okay.
Listen, a kohen marries a grusha. It's the same thing. It's a love. Right? They're living together in sin. Now, Bezin has the power, they would break it up. When Bezin doesn't have the power, there's nothing we can do. But that doesn't take away the fact that he violates a law every time he's with her.
In the case of a Kohen, the children are not halalim, only the husband.
No, they are halalim. They are halalim. But that's a special thing for Kohanim. They're not mamzerim, they're just halalim. They are
was a Kohen who was over a law with his wife. Well, the case we're talking about, the children would still be Kohanim?
No, they would be Halalim. Halalim is a non-Kohen, really, for all practical purposes. But that's special for Kohuna. If Yisrael marries a Chai V'Lavin, let's go over here, right, then the children are 100% kosher.
And the category doesn't work on the VM either, right? The children will become
Levim? No, the Yisrael, Chol is Yisrael for all practical purposes.
Okay.
Back to the Gemara. So Rashi. V'leimelei Rabbi Yechon al Rish Lakish Chai V'Lavin Ninu. Why does Rabbi Yechon answer Rish Lakish that this is Chai V'Lavin? Al Chalutza Zu. Ha'achim al Chalutza Zu. There are other brothers on this woman that received Chalutza. She'chazir enough l'lifneim that she fell a second time because Shimon married her. But like Chai Malai B'Karis, there's no Karis. That you polygalei to Rish Shimon B'Lakish. Rabbi Yechon argues in Rish Lakish to come on. V'yamani says, Bein Sha'arachim Bein Achailetz. Whether it's the other brothers or the one who gave chalitza, ain chayavim al chalutza karis. There would be no karis, v'lei al tzara karis. There would be no karis on the chalutza or on the other one of Reuven's wife, which is going to be a machlokes later on. Let me explain. Reuven died, left two wives. Shimon decided to do chalitza to one of them. How about the other one? Is she karis now? Or is she alive? She didn't receive chalitza. Her co-wife received chalitza. So Rabbi Eichanan says, there is no karis here. Not on the chalitza, not on the tzara, not from the one who gave the chalitza, and not from the rest of the brothers. And Rish Lakish says, it's all karis besides the one who gave chalitza to the woman who gave the chalitza. That's it. Everybody else, meaning the other wife, is karis to everybody. The other brothers are karis to everybody. There's one exception. The man and the woman who did the chalitza. They're only alive. Rabbi Yochanan says, not true. All wives to all brothers remain alive. Because the erva was removed because they were all eligible for Yibum. And Rish Lakish says, the erva is removed to the brother who did chalitza to woman one. To woman one, and that brother, it would be only a lav. To the rest of the wives, or the rest of the brothers, it would be karis. So now, that's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan should have told Rish Lakish, your question is based on a mistake. There's no karis here. V'chai v'lavim b'nei chalitza v'yibninu. Now Rashi is bothered. We don't do yibum to chai v'lavim. So what does the Gemara mean? Chai v'lavim have chalitza yibum. The Rashi kloimer. Skuka hu l'yibum. She's bound to have yibum. We don't let yibum, but she's bound to have yibum. V'ein nesulah paitrim na chalitza. She would need chalitza. We wouldn't let yibum because it's a lav, but we would make him do chalitza. To ha'machois isha yafinan. Who is absolved from chalitza? We learn it av machais isha. She erva. V'chayav mazdai nekaris. Doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, we pater from Chalitza. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, this would not be pater from Chalitza. Al Hatzara. That is later on. So, therefore, the Gemara's answer is, you're right. Rabbi Yochanan could have told Rish Lakish, your question's based on a mistake. But Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Rish Lakish, even according to you, you don't have a question. Even according to you that you consider it karis, but it's not Tsarasara, because none of the brothers could marry this woman, and therefore you'd never have a case of Tsarasara. Zogti Gemara Vait, Itmar. Now we're going to have the Machloikas of Yechon and Rish Lakish, and their respective explanations. Itmar. Hachaylitz Li'eventai, one who gave Chalitza to his Yevama, the Chazav Kedacha, and then he remarried her, okay? Reuben died, had no children, Shimon went and gave Chalitza. I hate to use the word Shimon gave Chalitza. Shimon receives Chalitza. In Chalitza, unlike every other process, it's the woman that does it to the man. It's interesting. In Kedushin, the man gives Kedushin to the woman. In Get, the man gives a Get to his wife. In Yibum, the man is meyabim the woman. In all those three, the woman is the subject of the man's actions. In Chalitza, she does Chalitza to him. So we use the term give Chalitza. He's not the one that gives Chalitza, he really receives Chalitza. The one who gives Chalitza is the woman. He does the Chalitza. It's the only one of the four, meaning there's two, right, marriage and Yibum and Get and Chalitza. Three of the four, it's the man doing it. One of the four, it's the woman doing Chalitza to the man. He's receiving Chalitza. But we commonly say, Shimon did Chalitza. He didn't do anything. He was the subject of the Chalitza. He stood there, and she took off the shoe. So it's, and spit and do whatever she had to do, as we will learn later in the Masechta. So, really it's a misstatement when I say Shimon gave Chalitza. Shimon did not give Chalitza. He received Chalitza. But in order, I'm not gonna keep on repeating that, we'll use the term, Shimon did Chalitza with this woman, right? And then, right, back to the Gemara. Right.
Who initiated the Chalitza?
What do you mean, who initiated? What?
Can either one initiate the Chalitza? In other words, can the woman say, I want Chalitza, and that's it?
No. The woman, it's up to the man. If he wants to be miyabim her, he has the option of yibum, unless she can persuade Bezin for a good reason why she doesn't want to marry him. If she doesn't come up with a reason that Bezin accepts, he can do Yibum against her will. I mean, I don't want to be politically incorrect. He can force her into the act of Yibum, and she becomes his wife. He does not need her agreement to make her his wife. He's taking over his brother's marriage. And just his brother got agreement from this woman to marry her. And therefore she's locked in to marrying the husband's brother, whether she likes it or she doesn't. She has the option of going to Bezin, and Bezin might intervene and say to him, no. No Yibum here. We're going to force you not to do Yibum. I'm sorry?
And the brother also is the one who decides if he wants to do Chalitza.
And he doesn't do Chalitza. He doesn't do Chalitza.
Quote unquote, does Chalitza.
If he decides not to do Yibum, then she doesn't want to be bound to him for the rest of her life. So she says to him, if you're not going to do Yibum, let's go to Bezin. And I'll give you Chalitza, and that way I'll be free. Chalitza has to be done by her. I'm sorry, Ramesha, one second. She has to do Chalitza. We can't force Chalitza. Chalitza is her action. Yibum is done against her will. Chalitza is her doing it. He has to agree to Chalitza, or Bezin has to force him to accept Chalitza.
Okay,
back to the Gemara. So Chaylitz Li'evamtai V'chaz V'kitcha. Amar Ish Lakish. Hu Ein Chayev Al Chalutza Karas. If he wants to marry this Chalutza, it's not Karas. It's an invalid marriage. Sorry, it's a valid marriage. It's illegal. V'achim Chayav min al-Chalutza Karas. But his brothers remain with Karas. They didn't do Chalitza. They had the option of doing Yibum or Chalitza, but they didn't do it. Therefore, they remain with the Isser of brother's wife, which is Karas. It's not removed from them, because at the end of the day, they were not the ones that were involved in the Chalitza. So therefore, they remain with the Karas. Al-Hatsara, the other wife, that didn't do the Chalitza, right? Reuven was married to two wives. Bein hu, bein ha'achim, chayav min al-hatsara karas. Rish Lakish's opinion is, even though any one of those two wives could have been the one to do Chalitza, and any one of his two wives could have been the Yibum, could have done Yibum with. But the bottom line is, he did Chalitza with one. The other one remains Karis, even to the one who gave Chalitza, and to all the brothers. So let's say, Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah. Reuven dies without children. Shimon does Chalitza to Rachel. Leah is ushered to everybody. Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda with Karis. Because she didn't receive the Chalitza. She's a regular brother's wife, and nothing ever removed the Isser Karis from her. Nothing happened to her. Not Chalitza, not Yibum. Therefore, she remains with Karis. Even to Shimon, and to Levi and Yehuda. Rachel, to Shimon, is only a lav. He's the one that had Chalitza with her. Levi and Yehuda to Rachel is Karis. Because again, they were not involved, and therefore they remain in the Isser of Eishes Ach. That's Rish Lakish's opinion. Reb Yechanan disagrees. He says, Bein hu, bein ha'achim, einim chayavim, v'layala chalutza karas, v'layala tzara karas. Reb Yechanan says, no. Every one of these women and every one of these brothers no longer have karas with each other. Because they were all eligible to do yibum or chalitza. And therefore, none of them have karas. They're all lavin. That means Shimon to Rachel and Leah, and Levi to Rachel and Leah, and Yehuda to Rachel and Leah is only a lav. There's no more karas here. That's the machlokes, and the Gemara will go and explain it. My time is the Rish Lakish. Why does Rish Lakish say that everybody else is karas? So he says very simply, Amikra Asher Lo Yivna. The pasuk says that Shimon did not do Yibum. Kibish Loibana, Shuv Loivna. Once he did Chalitza, he no longer has not allowed to marry her. The Torah writes a lav. Now, if the Torah writes a lav, that means the Torah is saying, Iyu Dekoy Beloivna. The Torah wrote a lav for him. Since you didn't do Yibum, you did Chalitza, you no longer can marry her. The Torah doesn't write anything about brothers, or anything about other women, other wives. Only the woman you did Chalitza with. Aval Achiv, Kedekaimi Kaimi. The brothers remain with the Isra of Eishasach. Nothing removed it. And the lav is only for Avodidon, this woman. Since you did Chalitza, the Torah removed the Isra of brother's wife, and replaced it with a lav. Hatzara Kedekaimi Kaimi. The other woman wasn't involved in the Chalitza. She remained as an Isra of Eishasach. It's a special halacha that the man who gave Chalitza to the woman, those two have a lav to each other. Everybody else remains with the Isra of Eishasach. That's how Rish Lakish understands it. Reb Yechanan says it doesn't make any sense. Any one of the brothers could have done Chalitza to any one of these wives. That means, obviously, any one of them had the ability to even do Yibum with any one of these wives. That means the Torah removed the Isra Eishasach. So where does it come back again? They each had the option of Chalitza. And each of the women could have been the one that did Chalitza. And now Karis comes back. They each had the option of being the man and the woman that either did Yibum or Chalitza. Any one of those two wives and any one of the brothers had the right to do Yibum or Chalitza. That means the Isser Eishasach was off. It went back on. Ella, this is what happens. Iyush l'chusa da'achim kovid. He represents all the brothers. The one who does Chalitza or Yibum is the representative of all the brothers. And therefore, all brothers have the same Isser. He is not any different than anybody else. It's not a real Shlichus. Shlichus doesn't work this way. But it means to say representative. It's one brother doing Yibum or Chalitza to one wife. And all the other brothers and wives were eligible for this. Therefore, the Isser Eishasach went off, and the same Isser of the Lav that applies to the one who did Chalitza, to the woman who got Chalitza, applies to all the brothers and all the wives. That's what Yechanan's opinion. Zok Rashi. Ala Tzara. Im Haisul Tzara. She had a Tzara. The Niftar Bachalitza Shazu. And that Tzara got putter, got let out of the bond with this chalitza, the sieve. How do we know that? Beis chalutza no'al. It says, the house of the one who removed the shoe. We darshan bayis echadu chalitz, vein chalitz shnei batim. Chalitza is only necessary to one woman, not to all the wives. Meaning, if Reuven died and had two wives, Shimon only has to give chalitza to one, not to both. Right. The oisa tzara, I think the Bach takes that above. Oisa tzara, chamura. She becomes more stringent. Lamoid alkulam beiser eishes ach bekaris. She reverts back to being karis to any of the brothers. Shenifter mehem that she got absolved from because of mafarish taima. Because the kaimi beiser eishes ach. Shlaki says, listen, the pasuk removed the iser eishes ach by writing asher loy bana shuv lo yivna. The pasuk removed it. Since the pasuk removed it, it only removed it from the man who did chalitza with that woman, not from any other brother, not to any other wife. Any one of the brothers could have been the one doing chalitza. Sure, should be at kulam. They all have that right. As far as the tzara is concerned, also the Bach adds that any one of the wives could have been the one with chalitza. Because one did the chalitza to one woman, everything reverts back. Meaning, this Eshesach went off. Every single one of the brothers had a right to do Yibum or Chalitza to any one of the women. That means the Torah took off Eshesach for every one of the brothers and for every one of these women. Now, it goes back after one brother does Chalitza? Answer is, Hai Shlichus in the do of it. The Mikaro Hai Rishus Biyat Kulan. They all had the ability to do it. He is the one that did it. The Chenhi Shlichus in the Tzara Avda. Doesn't mean real Shlichus. The Chihecha, the Havi Allah Bala Yivna, Kain Al Tzarasa Bala Yivna. The same love that applies to the one he did Chalitza with, applies to the other ones who could have done Chalitza. The Chena Achim Ashneyam. And the same thing is true by the brothers on both of these women. So we have here a machloikis in how to view the removal of the Isser Eshesach. To Rish Lakish, if you do Yibum, Eshesach is off. If you do Chalitza, Eshesach is off from that woman. That's it. The man who did Chalitza to the woman who did Chalitza. Everything else, Eshesach remains on. Even though they could have been the one that had Yibum or Chalitza, and any brother could have done Yibum or Chalitza, but they didn't. And therefore, Eshesach remains. When one of the brothers does either Yibum or Chalitza, the Eshesach is removed. Meaning he illegally could do Yibum or Chalitza, even though it's his brother's wife, and it's not there anymore. But anybody else not involved in Yibum or Chalitza remains with the Eshesach. Rish Lakish says it's not what happens. That when the Reuven died, all his wives became mutter to all the brothers, meaning any wife to any brother, either for Yibum or Chalitza. That means the Torah said, there's no longer Eshesach here. Now, it happened to be that one of the brothers is the one that carried out the Yibum or the Chalitza, let's say. So therefore, they all revert back? It's not what happens. They're all eligible for Chalitza, Eshesach is off. One does the chalitza, it's great. But they're all in the lav, they're no more Isser Eshesach. It was removed. They were all eligible for it. That means the Eshesach is removed. And Rish Lakish says it's not removed. It's only removed when the person goes ahead and does Yibum or chalitza. At that moment, he's not violating Eshesach, and it became off, and now he has a different relationship with her. That's all. Only him and her, not any other brother, not any other sister. Any other tzara. Okay. Eisvei Rabbi Yechon al Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yechon had a question on Rish Lakish. Hachailut li'evamtai. This is the case. Somebody did chalitza to Zivama. The chazer v'kitcha, which is the exact case that we talked about before. Reuven died, left, let's say, two wives, and Shimon did chalitza to one of them. And then he married her, he violated a lav. Everybody agrees it's only a lav. Umeis. And then Shimon died without any children. The Braisa says, Tzricha Chalitza Minachin. She needs Chalitza. Now, that's clearly like Rabbi Yechanan. Because according to Rish Lakish, why would she need Chalitza? To Levi, she's an Erva. So Bishleima Lididi, so Rabbi Yechonah says to Rish Lakish, according to me, that mean a chai v'lav aninu, I say that to Levi she's only a lav, she's not a chorus. And then Shimon married her, so now she's Shimon's wife, and she falls to Levi, and it's only a lav. We won't allow Yibum, because it's a lav, but we need Chalitza. Hainu de Tzvicha Chalitza. She needs Chalitza Menachen. Elu Adidach, but according to you, Amai Tzvicha Chalitza. She's an Erva. Why would she need Chalitza? Rashi. Amai Tzvicha Chalitza. Nehi Nami, the Kedushin Tavsiba. True, the Kedushin works. The Euloi Koyal Ebekaris. That's not a Shaila. Shimon's Kedushin was valid. It's only a lav. Miuk Shemes. But when Shimon dies, Tipater v'teitz emina achim shem erva. That she should go out because of an erva, Hayo Bekaris yalayu. According to you, Rish Lakish, Levi should not have a mitzvah to Chalitza. It's an erva to him. But Chayru, we have a clear raya to Rabbi Yechanan from a brisa against Rish Lakish. And for the Gemara. Zok Rish Lakish, Ultameich. Now this is the good way, the Jewish way of answering a question. You answer a question by asking another question. Meaning, by coming back with another question. And therefore proving that this brisa needs to be explained differently. Because there's a problem with this brisa. And once there's a problem with this brisa, it allows for different explanations. We don't usually try to rearrange a brisa unless we have a reason to show you that the brisa is wrong. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan found this brisa and it makes perfect sense, it's difficult for a Shlokish to say, oh, that brisa is a mistake. But if Rabbi Shlokish can come back to Rabbi Yochanan and say, even according to you, you have a problem with this brisa, so obviously this brisa needs some work, because the brisa doesn't make any sense. Therefore, we are allowed to rearrange the brisa, which Rabbi Shlokish can do it one way, and Rabbi Yochanan can do it the other way, and it's not a kasha of either one of the two. Again, when we have a kasha from an amayru on a brisa, unless the amayru is being questioned can prove that the brisa is missing things, needs extra explanation, he's stuck. He has a brisa against him. But if he can prove that this brisa needs work, right, needs to work. So then once he proves that the brisa needs work, then he has a right to rearrange the brisa or re-explain the brisa in a way that it won't be difficult for him. So that's what Rish Lakish is out to do now, to show that Rabbi Yochanan has a problem with this brisa as well. So Tameich, Eim Seifa. Let's move to the end of the brisa. Omar Echad Menachem B'Kitcha. What if Shimon didn't do the Kedushin? Reuven died, and Shimon gave Chalitza, and then Levi married her. Not Shimon, but Levi. Zok de Brisa, Ein La Olav Klum. If Levi dies, there is no Yibum or Chalitza, because Levi's Kedushin was invalid. V'chai V'lavin, it Amai Ein La Olav Klum. If it's Chai V'lavin, so why is it invalid? So Rish Lakish comes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, you got a problem with this Brisa. The second part of the Brisa says, like me. The second part of the Brisa says that if Levi marries her, it's an invalid Kedushin. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, any brother could marry her and be valid. So why does the Brisa say, if Shimon marries her, then there is a mitzvah of Chalitza. But if Levi marries her, there's no mitzvah of Chalitza. Why? If Levi has no erva to her, so then Levi's Kedushin is valid. So the Brisa contradicts itself. So Rish Lakish's answer to Rabbi Yochanan is, how can you ask me from this Brisa when the Brisa is self-contradictory? The Brisa starts off like you and ends up like me. Zok Rashi, Amar Echad Minachem V'Kitcha, Shaloi Kitcha Achaylet Elecha Minachem. It wasn't Shimon that did the Kedushin. He's the one that gave the Chalitza. But he's not one that did the Kedushin. One of the brothers did it. Ein lo olav klum. Ein Kedushin types in Labah. Levi's Kedushin is not valid. Vein etzvicha menu get, and she doesn't need a get. Ein Kedushin types in Mechai v'krisis. So Rish Lakish's response to Rabbi Yochanan is, you had a great question, but then read on the Brisa. So you're just as stuck as I am. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes. No. Rabbi Yochanan has a way of learning this brisa that Rish Lakish does not have. And that is, Seifa Asin L'Rabbi Akiva, Damrein Kedushin Taishin B'chayv Elavin. Meaning, even Rabbi Yechanan, who says that all the brothers only have a lav, and it's a valid Kedushin, that's operating under the assumption, which we paskin, that Kedushin are valid by Chayv Elavin, and they're invalid by Chayv Krisis. Rabbi Akiva holds that Kedushin is invalid by Chayv Elavin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if Levi would marry this woman, or even if Shimon would marry this woman, it would be an invalid Kedushin, because a lav invalidates the Kedushin. According to Rabbi Akiva, if a person violates a lav and he marries a woman, it's not valid. We always say it's illegal but valid. Rabbi Akiva says it's not valid. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if Shimon or Levi went and married this chalutza, it would be an invalid Kedushin. There would be no mitzvah yibum. So the Reish is going like the Rabbanan, and the Reish is saying that Kedushin is valid by Chayv Elavin, therefore if Shimon marries her and dies, Levi has to do Chalitza. The Seif is going like Rabbi Akiva. If either Shimon or Levi marry her, it's not a valid Kedushin, so there would be no mitzvah of Yimun Chalitza. So the Bryce is switching Mandi Amrim. It's going from the Rabbanon who hold Kedushin is valid, B'chayv Elavin, to Rabbi Akiva who says Kedushin is not valid, B'chayv Elavin. We switch Mandi Amrim in middle of a Bryce. That's Rav Sheshes' answer. Say for us and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, the first part of the Bryce is like me, like Rabbanon, the Kedushin is valid, B'chayv Elavin. Therefore, when Shimon dies, Levi has to do Chalitza because it's only a Chayv Elavin. And the second part of the Bryce is going like Rabbi Akiva, who says the Kedushin is invalid, B'chayv Elavin. So therefore, the whole Kedushin would never work, not from Shimon, not from Levi. Track the Gemara, but listen.
Is it okay to say that?
It sure is. But if not, you're stuck with a Braisa. So Rabbi Yochanan has an out.
Not a great out.
No, but it's not an unreasonable out. It's not an unreasonable out. It's doing many times in Shas. I mean, I didn't count how many times, but it's not very uncommon to do this. Not usual, but not very uncommon. Frakti Gemara, listen to the Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Le'av Klum. Why wouldn't the Braisa say the words, the Divrei Rabbi Akiva, if it's switching Mandi Amrim? Zakti Gemara Kasha. You're right. We don't really have an answer to that. But at least we have an out. Rashi. Say V'asal Rabbi Akiva. V'reisha Rabbanon. Miuchai V'lavan, U'divrei Yaakov. But at least Rabbi Yechon can make it sense. Kasha, Rav Sheshes, Vishan Yehoki. For Rav Sheshes' answer, that's a problem. Why wouldn't the Braisa tell me, L'divrei Rabbi Akiva? If we're switching Mandi Amrim, tell me that. No answer. Rav Ashi is going to say pshat in the Braisa, Rav Ashi is going to say pshat like Rav Shlokish, and Ravina is going to say pshat like Rav Yochanan, without switching Mandi Amrim. They're going to come up with a pshat in the Braisa, that both Rish Lakish, Rav Ashi will have one according to Rish Lakish, because Rav Ashi holds like Rish Lakish. Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan, and he will come up with a psat like Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to come up with two answers in the Braisa. One will answer Rish Lakish, and one will answer Rabbi Yochanan, who's the one we passing like, by the way. We passing like Rabbi Yochanan. So, Ravina is younger than Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi and Ravina were the end of the Amoraim. Rav Ashi was older than Ravina. Rav Ashi held like Rish Lakish, and he answered the Mishnah like Rish Lakish, and Ravina held like Rabbi Yochanan, and he answered the Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Ashi suffered like Rish Lakish, Dr. Gemara. Rav Ashi personally held like Rish Lakish. Umataris like Rav Shimon. And he answered the Braisa, the first part of the Braisa, like Rav Shimon, which the Gemara will explain. And Rav Yechanan, Vina Sava like Rav Yechanan. Vina holds like Rav Yechanan. So the first part of the Braisa makes sense. Umataris like Rabbanon, he says the second shot part of the Braisa makes sense like the Rabbanon. Now, both of these need explanation, which the Gemara will give us, which we will leave in Meretz Hashem for tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.